And before we read the scripture there, I will ask you if you would join me to make this confession together with me of our confidence in the Lord to speak through His Word by His Spirit today. Let's believe Him. Don't you want to hear God speak to your heart today? We need to hear the Lord for ourselves. Jesus said, "He who has an ear to hear what the Spirit says, let him hear," or "let her hear." So let's open up. Let's tune in to the Lord today so He can speak to us by His Spirit through His Word. All right, would you make this confession with me? Ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By His truth, I am set free. Free indeed. I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. It's good to be... I know God has given us a Sabbath. He's given holy days. You know, just recently, if you didn't know this, the Jewish people, some of them keep some of the festivals that the Lord gave. They're called the Feast of the Lord. We just finished up one this week. It's like an 8-week Israeli Thanksgiving to remember God's past faithfulness and to encourage them for today. It's called Tabernacles. And we have communion, for example. It's good to be, Jesus said, as often as you do this in memory of me. So it's good to be reminded to stay in close fellowship with the Lord. It's good to be reminded of God's past faithfulness, because when we look at the nation of Israel, when they forgot what God had done for them in the past, they forgot about the Lord altogether, and then they got away from Him. So it's important to remember to stay in close fellowship with the Lord, remember His past faithfulness. Has anyone here ever experienced God being faithful to you somehow in your life? Would you raise your hand? Okay. Many, maybe all of us. I hope you can. And if you can't, you can start that today. You can start today. But it's not just to remember what He did. It's to inspire us right now for what He is and what He can do, not only today, but in the future. It's to inspire faith in God and to inspire obedience to the Lord. So it's good to be reminded. Before I read these verses in Deuteronomy, I want to just give you a couple verses if you want to write them down, or we'll put them on the screen. I'll read them to you in 2 Peter, and then I'll join you in Deuteronomy. 2 Peter chapter 1, the Bible says this in verse 13. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 13. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I'm in this tent, that means His body, this physical body, to stir you up, how? By reminding you. So it's good. We can remind ourselves in order to stir ourselves to action. Verse 14, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as the Lord Jesus Christ showed me. He was just simply saying, I know that the time of my execution is near, but this is just a tent. I got a permanent house coming, built by the greatest carpenter ever. And so he says, one more verse, verse 15. Moreover, I'll be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. I want to leave a legacy. I want to leave a good legacy. I want to leave a legacy of faith and inspiration so that after I'm gone, somebody can still remember me and say, he had his flaws, he sure had his shortcomings, but his heart was there. He wanted to please God, and he did try to live it out by God's grace. I want to have a legacy of faith. Peter said, after I'm gone, I want you to continue following Jesus, and I want to make sure that you have regular reminders. So he wrote this letter to us. And the Bible says here in Deuteronomy chapter 7, as Moses is getting ready to depart, and he's brought the nation of Israel together, and he's reminding them. And the Bible tells us that the events which happened to the people of Israel are written for our learning to encourage us in our walk of faith today. So what can we learn from Israel's wanderings in the wilderness, their journey? Because the scripture tells us that Israel's wilderness journey was a time of testing. So what can we learn and live by to guide us from their time of testing to help us in our lives today? Because it doesn't matter who you are right now, where you are, I believe I can say with confidence, we are all either coming out of a test, we are in a test or we're getting ready to go through a test. It's part of life in this life. So what can we learn? And I can summarize it in one sentence. It's five words, all right? So if you get this in your heart today, I believe you'll be blessed. Five words, ready? Be holy, humble, and hungry. Be holy, humble, and hungry. Would you say that with me? Be holy, humble, and hungry. Let's say it one more time. Be holy, humble, and hungry. Deuteronomy chapter 7. I see some of you are still writing. I'll tell you what, I'll start with a question, all right, before I read those verses. In fact, if you're there writing, let me give you one more. Leviticus chapter 20. Leviticus chapter 20, if you want to write this down, the Bible says in verse 7, consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves and be holy. Let me ask you a question. If you want to say something out loud, it's okay. There's no right or wrong answers. What comes to your mind when you hear the word holy? Maybe if I ask it like this, and you don't have to say this, but if I asked you, are you holy? What comes to your mind? I'll tell you mine, and then maybe you can relate or you'd like to share with me. Because of my background in church, and thank God, but it's easy for me to associate holiness with what I do and holy actions and deeds. God did not just say, do holy works. He said, be holy. It's not just about what we do, it's who we are. And if we are holy, then the actions and deeds will flow out of a holy heart. So be holy. Consecrate yourselves. Can anyone relate to what I was saying? Because when I put it on the, like, my performance, so to speak, I hope you don't take that wrong, but it can come out that way. It's like I have to measure up. I'm not doing enough. I'm not praying enough, not fasting enough, not seeking enough, not reading enough, not, you know, then I always feel like I'm falling short, always. That is like I never measure up. And he says, be holy because I am holy. And let me give you a definition of the word holy, and I'll read these verses. Holy just simply means set apart or dedicated to God. So it's set apart for God or dedicated to God. So if I were to say, are you holy? What I'm asking is, are you set apart for God? Are you dedicated to God? And there are none righteous, no, not one. And the only one who can make us holy, not doing holy, you know, churchy things, the one who can make us holy, because we can do all those deeds and be unholy without a changed heart. The only one who can make us holy is the Holy One, God. And he makes us holy when we turn from our way to his way by believing in Jesus, the Messiah, as our Lord. The Bible says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, or the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, that he really is the sinless Son of God, he paid for our sins on the cross, he conquered death, and he's alive right now. If we will do that, if we believe that in our heart, then you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is made righteous with God, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So we can have the assurance. Now, I was pointing, if you're streaming, you don't know who this is in the front pew. This is my girlfriend. She's my wife of 32 years. See, she got it wrong not too long ago. That's what I want to know. 32. She said, it feels like 80. No, she didn't say it. 32 years. And you want your spouse to be set apart for you, dedicated to you. You don't want to be sharing your spouse with everyone. And that's the heart of God. I thought about the one illustration that helped me was, we got a dentist up here on the front pew. I'm going to give you all the benefit of the doubt that you brush your teeth, okay? I'm not even going to ask. I'm just giving you the benefit of the doubt that you brush your teeth. But does anyone need a toothbrush? Yeah, it's still dripping. Anyone? Anyone? Doc, you need a doc? The dentist needs a toothbrush. No. Most of us do not want to even share our toothbrush. Thank you. I wasn't sure. I don't know if I was going to get a response on that one or not. In other words, even I don't even want it on other places in my body. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to be like, I got an itch. I mean, it's holy. My toothbrush is holy. It's set apart to brush my teeth. My teeth. Exclusive. So be holy. Maybe that'll help you. And am I holy? Am I set apart for God? Am I dedicated to Him? The Bible says this in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6 says, "For you are a holy people. You are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people," notice it, "for Himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. The Lord did not set His love on you and choose you because you were more in number than other people, or you were for you were the least of all people." That's humbling. But then he goes on, verse 8, "But because the Lord loves you, and because He would keep the oath which He swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you." He rescued you. He paid the price to ransom you from that bondage of slavery and Pharaoh's dictatorship over your life. He says He paid the price. He redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Verse 9, "Therefore know that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love Him and keep His commandments. And He repays those who hate Him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack with him who hates Him. He will pay him to his face." So again, set apart for God. God makes us holy when we believe His word and receive Jesus as Lord. But see, then when we do, we can't live this Christian walk out without His help. So thank God for the new covenant. So what the old covenant failed to do because of human weakness, Jesus did for us by His adequateness. And so then be holy when we receive Jesus as Lord. We're set apart for God by God. And we're dedicated to Him, but then He calls us to live it out. And the only way we can live it out is because His Holy Spirit is on the inside of us, and He helps us live it out as we believe Him. Brothers and sisters, we can walk in obedience to God's word if we will simply humble ourselves to acknowledge our need and believe Him for the grace to be obedient. Because I believe in life we'll always face some type of a challenge sooner or later where we in our human adequacy or inadequacy say, "I can't do that. I can't talk to that person. I can't forgive that person. I can't." We all, I think, have you been there? Can any of you relate? But we can only do it if we will believe God and give us grace. Then the question is, can God do it? And if He can, He'll do it through me if I will yield myself to Him and believe Him. It's not easy. It just shows that we need the Lord. I need God every day. I need His grace every day. I thank God that heaven is my home. I get to be with the Lord every day, but I need Him now. And then so as we are holy, when God makes us holy, holy actions flow out of a holy heart. And so I would just, before I move on to the second, again, just ask, you don't need to say anything out loud. But now if I ask you, are you holy? I'm asking you, are you set apart? Are you dedicated to God? Have you received Jesus as the Lord of your life? And then are you walking with Him every day, living it out? If you have, thank God. Be holy, humble, and hungry. Would you say it again with me? Be holy, humble, and hungry. Deuteronomy chapter 8, if you turn there. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Let's look at that second. Deuteronomy 8, verse 2. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 2 says, "And you shall remember. We're talking about being stirred up by way of remembrance. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness. Notice the purpose of a test, please. To humble you and test you. To humble you and test you to know whether or to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. One purpose of a test is to see if we will do what God's word tells us to do or not. When God ordains a test, it's always for a purpose. Now, I can go out and mess around and get away from God and bring stuff on myself that I didn't have to walk through. And even then, if I will make it right with God and just repent and get right with him, he can give me grace to walk through that mess. Ask David. Ask many people. Ask me. Thank God. But it's better not to have to go that route to begin with. So he says, if I'm allowing this test so that it will not be an opportunity for you to humble yourself. See, humility admits our need for God and our need for others. See, it's easy for me to admit my need for God. It hasn't always been easy for me to admit my need for other people. But we need other people, and that's why God ordained the pattern of fellowship that he did. God doesn't want us walking through this life not only without him, but without each other. It's important to have that godly Christian fellowship. We need the strength from one another, and it can be humbling to admit my need. And see, it's like right in contrast to one of the churches Jesus spoke to in Revelation chapter 3. It was that seventh church, and Jesus said, you think you're okay because your bills are paid, and you got nice clothes, and everything's fine. You got a nice building. Everything's kind of going your way. But he said, you don't even know your true spiritual condition. You're wretched, poor, blind, miserable, and naked because they had this attitude. I don't need anything. I'm good. They didn't even realize their own need for God. And Jesus said it was actually nauseating to him, that kind of an attitude. I'm not saying the people were, but that attitude of lukewarmness was. And so in contrast, God wants us to be humble and to realize I have a need for God. So he says, there's a test. I said, we're in one, coming out of one, or going through one. Let it remind you. I want to encourage you today. I'm not trying to bash you if you're going through a time, but let it remind you, I've got to be obedient to the word of God. Even when I don't feel like it or understand it, God didn't call me to understand. He called me to trust him all with all my heart. And so we can choose to be obedient. Brothers and sisters, when we're in a test, we can choose to humble our heart and be drawn to God, or we can choose to harden our heart and pull away from God. So the purpose of the test is for we humble our heart and be drawn to the Lord and admit our need for him. Notice what he says, please, in Deuteronomy 8:14, same chapter, verse 14. He gives this warning. He's speaking to his people, and he says, when your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Let me pause right there a second. When your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord, just between you and God right now, okay? One manifestation of pride is that we don't think about God and his will very often. We think we can just go on about our days and lives and be fine. But again, between you and God, how much thought do you give to God and his will in your life? When your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord and the price he paid for you, he says in verse 15, he led you through that great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions. Now, the desert has literal serpents and scorpions, but Jesus said those serpents and scorpions represent demon spirits. And through this life, we do have to battle those evil forces. God willing, I want to share a little bit more focus on that next week in the New Testament. And he goes on and he says that he led you where there was thirsty land, where there was no water, and brought water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might, what was the purpose again? Humble you, and that he might test you, notice, to do you good in the end. There's a purpose of a test, and when God ordains it, yes, it's a battle, yes, it's a trial, but if we will trust God and be obedient, He's just wanting to bring us good in the end when we come through it. He will lead us in tests. He will allow tests, but if He ordains it, it will be for our good and His glory. Thank God. Thank God. Be holy, humble, and hungry. Sometimes, you know, when life is going our way, just like the people in the scripture we read of, they were just people like us. I don't know, maybe you can relate too. It can be easy to forget about God. I don't forget Him like, oh yeah, there's a God up there somewhere. But you know what I'm saying? He's not in my mind. I'm not really seeking Him. He's not in my heart in the sense that I'm kind of wanting to please Him and do His will. But I've noticed this. Pain has a way of reminding me of how much I need the Lord. If it hurts bad enough, I'll do something about it. Needs and lack have a way of reminding me of how much I need God. I'm not saying that we have to go through those times. I'm simply saying that when I do, I'm tuning my dial to WGOD. Y'all remember when you used to have to tune your dial to get it in clear? I am seeking God when I'm going through a battle and challenge. I really try to remind myself, Lord, this is an opportunity for me to grow. It's an opportunity for me to grow in Christ's likeness. It's an opportunity for me to grow in relating to others, to grow in humility, and for God to even use me. And I can look, I'm telling you, it's good for me to be reminded of this every once in a while. I'll say it this way. It's good for me to regularly be reminded to be holy, humble, and hungry. Be holy, humble, and hungry. Would you say it with me? Be holy, humble, and hungry. And then Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. So we've talked about being holy, being humble, and then finally being hungry. The Bible says this, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3 says that God humbled you and He allowed you to hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know. He gave them something that they had never eaten before, but He did it again for a purpose. He said, I allowed it in your life, and your fathers didn't know about it, your ancestors didn't know, that He might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Every word. When we're in need, God wants us to draw to Himself and to receive His word. Whether people like to read or not, that's not the issue to me. I enjoy it. I like even reading the physical Bible. It's just what I'm used to. I like writing notes in it and so forth. But however you may get it, there are free Bible apps. The question is, are you hungry for it? Because you can have every means in the world. If you're not hungry, you're not going to open it or hear it and get it in your heart. If you're hungry, you can make a way. And it's not about how many chapters you read. I like reading. You know, I've read through the Bible, you know, a few times over the years. Right now I'm doing a little more intense, you know, focus. But whatever it may be, Jesus even used this in the New Testament. He said, we've got to live by daily bread. We don't want to go so long without the physical food. Our spirit and God's spirit on the inside of a child of God doesn't want to go without that spiritual nutrition of God's word either. See, the test will reveal our walk with the Lord. The test will reveal how I am feeding my faith. And the test will reveal how I exercise my faith. Because tests reveal. Would you say that with me? Tests reveal. That's why we take tests in school to see what we have learned. And tests in life reveal our walk with the Lord. If I've gotten away from the Lord, the test may help remember, may help me to remember and remind me I need to feed my faith because I like watching the, you know, whatever. Pick one. Pick a channel. News. It doesn't matter. Fox, CNN, ESPN, WGN, HSN, whatever, whatever they are, that's fine. They can have their place, but they won't necessarily build up our spirit, especially for times of testing and trial. But God's word will. And if we can feed our faith, then we need to exercise our faith and not just be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. But we got to have that spiritual strength. So be holy, be humble, and then be hungry. Again, he says, I want you to know that man shall not live by bread alone. And then verse 10 says this, when you have eaten and are full, then bless the Lord your God. So I like to say the blessing, you know, myself before I eat, but this says you can do it afterward too. He says, when you've eaten and you're full, then bless the Lord. As it's a reminder to us that your God for the good land which he's given you, and beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today. The Bible says that, he says, when you've eaten, you're full, you've had your needs met, then I want you to bless the Lord, because giving thanks to God is a safeguard against complacency and pride. If we allow ourselves, see, complacency leads to compromise with sin. Complacency leads to compromise with sin. And I really believe that complacency is one of the strongest battles we can face in our lives. We just get kind of on, you know, it's like when the COVID first hits and I have to make adjustments or I do that, and we naturally just adjust, but we can humanly take the path of least resistance, and then I'm just kind of coasting along, and then I'm like, okay, I'm good now, and I'll go to church, you know, maybe next time, or I'll read a Bible tomorrow, I'll pray, you know, I don't need, everything's okay today, but I'll pray tomorrow, and it's easy to grow complacent. I sense it, man, I sense that battle in my own life, even now. I mean, in this season of my life, I've sensed it wanting to just creep in, like a spirit of slumber to come upon you and just like, oh, take it easy. And I'm just trying to restir myself toward the Lord and say, no, I want to increase desire for you. I want to increase desire for your will and your heart in my life. I don't want complacency. I want to have fervency and zeal for God. He's been too good to me I don't want to forget the judgment he bore to pay for my sins and how much he loved me. I want to remember the Lord, and I want that to stir me out of complacency and out of just spiritual lethargy and laziness. I want to close with these two verses if you want to write them down. And this first one is found in Matthew 5:6. Jesus told us this, Matthew 5:6. He said, God blesses those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. How hungry are you this morning? Not for the stew yet. How hungry are you for God? How hungry are you for his word? How hungry are you for his will? I would like to challenge you. If you want a little challenge this week, and I ask y'all to help me remember, maybe you email, no cheating. I want to challenge you to memorize this verse this week. Matthew 5:6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. If we hunger for the right things, God will fill us. He'll fill us with himself. Would you say this verse with me? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Be holy, humble, and hungry. And I want to read this last scripture to you, Luke 1. Luke 1. Y'all okay? Doing good? All right. Luke 1. This is Mary speaking after she goes to see John the Baptist. Actually, she went to see Elizabeth, her cousin, who was mom of John the Baptist. And this is kind of wild. When Mary, see, she was pregnant. She was beyond, you know, thought she was past the age of childbearing. And the Lord told her husband, John, Zechariah, he was going to be a father. And he didn't believe him for a while. And then when she was about maybe 6 months pregnant, I think it was what the scripture says there, Mary goes to visit her. And when she comes into the house, when Mary stepped into the house, the baby in Elizabeth's womb jumped. He leaped. And then she prophesied. She was speaking out like, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And that she was blessed to be in the presence of the one who was going to give birth to the Messiah and Lord. And then Mary went into a little bit of a praise here, and she says this in verse 47. This is Luke 1:47, if I could go back that far. He says, my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, For he has regarded the, and notice that lowly state of his maidservant, not the proud, arrogant state, the lowly state. See how he's working with her? She's a humble young lady. And for behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation, and he's shown strength with his arm. He scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He's put down the mighty men from their thrones and exalted the lowly. In verse 53, he has filled the hungry with good things. I love that promise. If we are hungry for God, he will fill us with good things. I didn't say everything will go our way. I said we'll be filled with the right things that God ordains in our lives. Be holy, humble, and hungry. I'll close with this. Just between you, would you just search your heart right now for you and the Lord? I want to encourage. Maybe someone here today, you just need some encouragement because you've gotten off track and you need to get back on track. To put aside that complacency, to say, Lord, I don't want to be on easy street. I want to be on the way, the truth, and the life. I want to seek you with, I want an increased hunger and zeal for God. Maybe for some, it's just getting right with God to begin with by being holy as we receive Jesus as the Lord of your life. No playing church, no strings attached, just saying, God, I believe your word. I believe you loved me and sacrificed your son to pay for my sins, and now I want to give myself to you. Be holy. Be humble. Let's humble ourselves, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge we need God and we need each other. Can we just be humble enough to admit? And have you grown complacent between you and God now? Have you grown complacent? If you have, would you turn to the Lord and ask him? Just the Bible says, fan the flame of God's Spirit. Fan the flame of the love of God's Holy Spirit in your heart. If you know him, he's in you. Fan the flame. Renew your zeal and passion for Jesus. Be holy, humble, and hungry. Would you stand with me as we just go to the Lord in prayer?